or Pastor John Osteen. Amen. And he would come, Brother Hagin, when he was good friends with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin would bring him out to Rhema, and he would speak to us when I was a student at Rhema. And, of course, I would watch him on TV and listen to a lot of his ministry. And he had some wonderful faith-building books. One book that Brother John Osteen wrote was called, the title of it was, There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. Yeah. There's a miracle. He had another book called Confessions of a Baptist Preacher. He grew up as a Baptist, got filled with the Holy Ghost. But these were not, you know, you think you hear something like that, Confessions of a whatever, and you think, oh, it's going to be their sordid story of all this, you know, what all they did. No, he's talking about confessing the Word of God, confessing what God says about you. But he had a book called There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's a miracle in your mouth? Amen. God wants to work miracles in your life, but he has to have your mouth. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. This is the story of David and Goliath. I know you're all familiar with this, but you might have missed something. You know, sometimes we get so familiar with Bible stories and things that we've heard that we can miss some very powerful principles in there if we aren't careful. In verse 45, we won't take time to read the whole account here. We'll just go ahead to verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." What is David doing? He's saying words. He's speaking. God wants to use your mouth. God wants to use your mouth to bring miracles to pass in your life. David somehow either knew this and was applying it specifically or stumbled onto it. I don't know. But it says, David said to the Philistine. That giant is there, and David starts talking to him. He said, "You come at me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And he says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Amen. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David said all of that, little teenager, little teenage boy. He'd strapped on Saul's armor, and it wouldn't fit. He said, "I'm sorry, I can't go in this," after he had volunteered to fight Goliath. And so he was unarmed as far as the armor was concerned, but he was armed with something else. He was armed with words. Somebody said, I know, David killed Goliath with a sling and a stone. No, that's not what happened. God killed Goliath, and he used David's words to do it. Amen. That's how Goliath went down. Not with David's sling. Now that was the physical instrument that was used, but it was God that killed Goliath, and he used David's words to do it. Amen. See, God wants to use your mouth to kill the giants that you're facing. Amen. To bring down the giants that you're facing. God wants to use your mouth to do that. God needs your words. Have you spoken to that giant? David went right up to him and he said, "Let me tell you what's going to happen." And he talked to Goliath and he said, "This day the Lord's going to give you into my hand. This day I'm going to cut your head off. This day you're going down." Amen. Have you talked to your giant lately? Have you talked to that giant that is in your life, that obstacle, that problem, that condition, that situation? Have you gone up to it and spoken words of faith out of your mouth at that thing? If you have, then God will use your words and bring that giant down. Hallelujah. There's a miracle in your mouth. I said there's a miracle in your mouth. God, listen, God will fight for you if you give him your mouth to work with. Notice David said, the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hand. David knew it wasn't his ability. David knew it wasn't his sling. He knew it wasn't that stone. He knew it wasn't anything he could do in his own ability to bring that giant down. He knew that God would do it, but he had to have his word, David's words to work with. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 1. In verse 18, we see that God was endeavoring to work in the lives of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. They were the parents of John the Baptist. And so this is before John the Baptist was born, before he was conceived even. And Zacharias was a priest. He had gone into the temple to do his priestly duty in the temple. And while he was in there, an angel appeared to him and began to reveal to him and tell him about God's plan. He said, I know you and Elizabeth, you've been barren, but God has heard your prayer, and you're going to have a son. Amen. And he's going to be my servant. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And so when the angel got through delivering this message to Zacharias, verse 18, we'll pick up the story there in Luke chapter 1. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. In other words, he says, I don't much believe that. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now here's something where God is trying to work in this man's life, and he brings him a promise, and he brings him good news, and Zechariah says, I don't know if I can believe that or not. The angel says, well, we're going to have to do something about this, or you're going to mess up God's plan really good. And he, forgive me, you wouldn't be that way. Let's just pretend this is Zacharias. So he went and say, reached in and he pressed his mute button. You know, some of us might be better off if God did that for us. At least would keep us from going in reverse. Before you start going forward, you got to get the car out of reverse. Amen. And Zacharias had it in reverse, and so the angel said, we're just going to have to shut you up for a little. And so he was. All right? So let's cooperate with God so he can work with our words and not have to shut us up, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wants to use your word. He wants your mouth so he can work in your life to bring salvation, to bring healing, to bring miracles, to bring to pass everything. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, this wasn't in my notes, so we may not get this scripture up, but you know it, or make a note of it, look at it later. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says to the children of Israel, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says, therefore, choose life. God wants you to choose life. God wants you to have life. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. Amen. He says, choose life. He said, well, how am I going to choose life? Well, he tells us in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 18:21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I choose life by the words that I speak. Amen. 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 Praise God. So God wants your mouth. Give him your words because he wants to do good things in your life. Amen. He wants to gain access. Amen. Amen. The second reason that God wants your mouth is so that he can use your mouth, so your mouth will bring praise and honor to him, to glorify him. Psalm 34, verse 1 says it this way, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, how often? Continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Why don't you just say that? That'd be something good just to say right now. Just declare that. Say it with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Psalm 89, verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. So God wants your mouth to bring praise and honor to Him. Amen. That's a big deal, too. That's significant, too. Our praise is a big deal. And again, it's through our praise is another way we release our faith. Praise in God is a way that we make known His faithfulness to all generations in a song. Amen? I would refer you back to a message I did earlier this year in the spring called Sing a Song. Does anybody remember that? I'd refer you to go back and either order that from the bookstore. You can go to our podcast page and you can listen to it. It's up there. And listen to that about how God wants us singing. Amen. And how powerful that is. Praise God. He wants to use your mouth to bring praise and honor to Him. And then number three, get this. This is a good one. God wants to use your mouth to shut the devil up. You say, where's that at? As our dear friend Brother Kim Clout would ask, is that in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. Look at Psalms 8. Psalms 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2. God wants to use your mouth to shut the devil up. Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. That's the devil. The devil is the enemy and the avenger. And he says, out of the mouth, out of what?
The mouth.
Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Now, Jesus quoted this, and it's in the Gospels what we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and the people were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed be the name of the Lord. And He came into the temple, and the children were crying out and saying, Hosanna! And some of the religious people got upset about that. They're making too much noise. Tell your disciples to be quiet. And Jesus said, have you never heard? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise, is how Jesus quoted it. You have perfected praise. And here He says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength. Well, there's strength in praise. Amen. But what else does it do? Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. God wants to use your mouth to shut the devil up. You ever tried that? Have you ever done that? You know, Pastor, the devil's telling me, I just can't. These thoughts are coming, and you have them. The devil tries to bombard you with thoughts of fear and failure and doubt and defeat. Those thoughts ever come to anybody? Do you know you can shut the devil up? I'm trying to outthink him. You can't outthink him. That's the realm he wants to keep you in, is the thought realm. But if you'll enter into a higher realm, if you'll enter into the faith realm, if you'll enter into the praise realm, if you'll enter into the realm of speaking words out of your mouth, amen. God wants to use your mouth to shut the devil up. And he said, I don't know if I'm that spiritually mature where I could do that. No, he said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. A spiritual baby can do this. A natural baby. That's why it's wonderful that when little ones listen, when little guys, and they don't have to realize or understand all of what they're doing, because you don't either. Well, I just don't know if a little child can get saved because, you know, they don't understand everything about redemption. Do you? Now, there's a lot you don't. Let me clue you in on something in case you didn't know this. There's a lot you don't understand. Amen. No, even babies, when they sing praise to God, or when they learn to quote Bible verses, and you know what? They may not realize what's happening, but you know what they're doing? They're silencing, according to the Word of God, they're silencing the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. He didn't say out of the brain, out of the mind. He said out of the mouth. Amen. So you got to declare it. You got to speak it. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you just try that right now? If the devil's been tormenting you with thoughts of fear or worry or failure, just do something about it right now. Just right now, come on, just be, now again, you know, you're sitting there. Then say out of your mind, Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Just try it. Let's just conduct an experiment right now. Just speak some words of faith and words of praise and see if it doesn't shut the devil up. Hallelujah. Is anybody here, you're dealing, you don't have to raise your hand. We can all be dealing with thoughts of, you know, thoughts of distraction or worry or fear. Just begin to speak some words of life. I know, just begin to speak. I'll give you an example here in a minute, but just speak some words of life and victory right now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Come on. Everybody in here. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. I thank you that you are my victory. I thank you that you are my strength. I thank you, Lord, that greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. I thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I heard Brother Hagin, got pulled out an old message of Brother Hagin's. It was done evidently in 1972 or 73. Now, I haven't been following him that long. But anyway, the CD I found, and I was just prompted in my heart to, I didn't realize I had it. I tried to find it online. I thought, you know, I may even have that. And I looked in my on the shelf in my office, and I had the CD. It was in a series. So I got it out and started listening to it three or four times since I pulled it out. But he was talking about when he was pastoring, after he'd pastored 12 years, and he went into traveling ministry. And he just was really suffering financially at the time, and I won't go into all the details of why, but anyway, he said he was driving home, and he had finished a meeting, and he was driving at night, he said, because it was cooler, and his tires were so worn out, they were bald. He said he was concerned that if he drove in the daytime, when it was hot and the road was hot, he might have a blowout. So he was driving home at night, left after his meeting, and was driving home, and had the windows down, you know, and he says, it's like one of those tires started singing, what you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? What you going to do now? He was thinking, because he was thinking, you know, he didn't have, he'd finished that meeting and the church had given him a meager offering and it was barely enough. It wasn't even enough to, you know, pay his bills that he had back home. And he had no more meetings scheduled. He had, and he was full-time in the ministry. He didn't have anything to fall back on, had no meetings at all scheduled. And so he's driving home and it's like that tire was saying, what you going to do now? What you going to do now? And he said, then the other tire picked it up, and they started singing a duet. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? What you going to do now? And then the third tire, and finally the fourth tire. What you going to do now? 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 And so he finally said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to act like the Bible is so. Amen. He went home. Got home like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and his wife said, how was the meeting? You know, did you go to? He said, everything's fine. God is good. I'm going to bed. He said, I didn't miss a wink of sleep. He said, I slept. He said, the phone was ringing the next morning, and it was a pastor calling long distance. Didn't know. He said, Brother Hagin, you don't know me. He said, that's right, I don't. He said, how soon can you start me a meeting? Brother Hagin said, tomorrow night. And went right on. He said, and he said, the end of that story, he said, God continued to bless us. So anyway, amen. When the devil is tormenting you with thoughts, use your mouth and silence him. Use your mouth and silence him. Amen? Hallelujah. Releasing words of praise, releasing words of faith out of your mouth will shut the devil up. Amen? And then number 4, God wants to use your mouth to bring salvation to others. God wants to use your mouth to bring salvation to others. Acts chapter 11, Peter is recounting the incident where he was directed to Cornelius' house, to those that were gathered there. He is recounting it a chapter later to the apostles in Jerusalem. Verse 13, it says, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men. Now, this is what the angel said to Cornelius before Peter came. They're recounting this. Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 14, look at this very carefully. Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Amen. Who will tell you words whereby which you and all your household will be saved. God wants to use your mouth, beloved, in the same way. So you can tell people words by which they can be saved.
Amen.
By which their household can be saved.
Amen.
That's how God's ordained it.
Yes.
The angel couldn't preach the gospel to him. The angel couldn't say, well, just bow down here and call on the name of Jesus. The angel couldn't do it. He said, you need to get a man to come. There's a guy, I know a guy over in Joppa named Peter. He can help you. And he will come and he will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God wants to use your mouth in the same way. To tell words, to speak words, the words of this good news of Jesus. The words that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And He was raised from the dead. He shed His blood for us. And He was raised from the dead so that whoever would call on Him and believe on Him could be saved. Hallelujah. He wants you to tell those words to people. He wants to use your mouth to bring salvation to others. Amen? Praise God. In verse 15, Peter says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." You know what happened there, that Peter went to do that. He went to tell them words, and the Bible says while he was yet speaking, the Holy Spirit fell. You never know what might happen when you open up your mouth, when you allow God to use your mouth to tell others about Jesus, to bring others the good news.
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Number five. God wants to use your mouth to impart grace and blessing to others. God wants to use your mouth to impart grace and blessing to other people. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." What is grace? Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's ability. And God wants to use your mouth to impart His favor and His ability to other people. So, well, can't He just do that directly? Well, I suppose He could, but He's chosen to use your mouth. Paul wrote in one place in the epistles, he says, "We were comforted. God comforted us through the coming of Titus," I believe it was, wasn't it? Titus came. So could God have just reached down and comforted Paul? I suppose so. But He decided to use another person to bring that comfort through, which He often does. God often brings His comfort, His blessing, His peace, His wisdom into our lives through the words of another person. And God wants to use your words, God wants to use your mouth to impart grace and blessing to others. No corrupt word out of your mouth, but what's good, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I had a young man in my office this week, and he's been to this church a few times, but we were trying to help him out, get him going in the right direction. And so anyway, I was talking with him and just have him, I said, "Well, tell me where you're at. Tell me what you want to, you know, what your goals are, what you want to see accomplished, you know, through this." And he began to speak to me, and I realized I'd never had really sat down and talked with him before other than just, "Hey, and how you doing, and we're glad you're here," and, you know, things like that when he's been at church. And the first time I'd ever sat down and really heard him really speak and express himself, and I really was impressed. He was a good communicator. He was very articulate, and so I thought, you know, had his head down, wouldn't look me in the eye. I said, I'm thinking he probably needs to hear an encouraging word. I said, it's obvious you're very intelligent. You're a good communicator. You're very articulate. You know, he brightened up just by those words that I spoke to him. Just by those encouraging words, that imparted grace to him.
Yes.
Amen. We can impart grace to one another.
Yes.
Amen. God wants to use your mouth to impart grace, His ability, His favor to others. How much stronger would we be as a body? How much stronger would we be as believers if we would really be serious about imparting grace to one another
Amen.
With our words?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Number six, God wants to use your mouth for the Holy Spirit to pray and speak through. This is a big one. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. What's the first thing that happened when they got filled with the Holy Spirit? They began to speak. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit was giving them utterance and they were speaking. God wants to use your mouth for the Holy Spirit to pray through and to speak through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." If we couple this with Romans chapter 8 and Romans 8, Paul says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You, again, let me clue you in on something. You don't know everything. Amen? And there are some things in prayer that you need to accomplish. There are some things concerning the plan of God, some things that God wants. Listen, get this. There are things that God wants to do not only in your life, but in the earth that you can't get your head around, that you don't understand with your mind. But you can yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit, and He can give you utterance to pray out things. That's why praying in tongues is so powerful. That's why the devil fights it. That's why he tries to get us to minimize it or to be ashamed of it or to not understand it or grasp it or to get confused about it. Because you can actually pray out. It says here, when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. Another translation that says divine secrets. In other words, you're praying out the plan and purpose of God that you would not know to pray about any other way. God needs that access. God needs somebody to ask Him. But if I don't know what to ask Him, how's that connection going to be made? How's He going to be able to do that in the earth if I don't know to ask Him for it? Amen. Glory to God, He can give me utterance in the Holy Spirit. And I can go, Shole makatiende le basare, Eshte makatiende le venge. And I don't know what I'm praying, but I'm speaking divine secrets and I'm praying out that thing that God wants to do. Then all of a sudden it begins to unfold and happen. And I thought, "Ooh, that's good. Praise God. I didn't know you wanted to do that, Lord." But now I see it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. No one understands Him. However, in the Spirit He speaks mysteries. God wants your mouth. He needs your mouth in order to accomplish that. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 says this. I like this. "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." I want to call your attention to one phrase in that. The whole verse is good, but I want you to notice one phrase here. It starts in the second line and goes into the third line. Speaking by the Spirit of God. Speaking by the Spirit of God. Speaking by the Spirit of God. Do you know it's possible for a man, for a woman, for a young person to speak by the Spirit of God? How wonderful is that? How great is that to be able to speak by the Spirit of God? In other words, the Holy Spirit inspire what you say. God wants your mouth. God wants your mouth. He wants us speaking by the Spirit of God. He wants inspired things, inspired from His Spirit coming out of your mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. That includes speaking in other tongues, but that also includes what the Bible calls the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. They come when we speak by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. God wants your mouth so the Holy Spirit can use it to pray and to speak through. Will you give it to Him? I said, will you give it to Him?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And then finally, last one. God wants to use your mouth for His will and His blessing to be released in the earth. God wants to use your mouth for His will and His blessing to be released in the earth. Praise God. In Proverbs, look at this verse. Proverbs 11. Now part of that is prayer. Part of that is when we pray, and part of that's connected to praying in the Spirit. There are praying, I believe we can certainly pray out God's plan for the earth, God's plan for our city, God's plan for our state, God's plan for our nation as we pray in other tongues. But part of that then is speaking in our known language and declaring. Now again, that's touching that's part of the ministry of a prophet. But all of us, as children of God, all of us can and should speak words of life and blessing and declaring the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11, verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And when he says by the blessing of the upright, he's talking about words being spoken. Because he contrasts it, he says, but it's overthrown. It's exalted by the blessing of the upright, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. In other words, the words that the wicked speak over the city overthrow the city. The words that the upright speak over the city, words of blessing, that exalts the city. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
I believe it applies to a city. I believe it applies to a nation. I believe it applies to a family. I believe it applies to a church, to a local church. Hallelujah. What words are you speaking over City on a Hill Church? By the blessing of the upright, the City on a Hill is exalted.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want it overthrown. So, well, I'm not wicked, Pastor. You say it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Well, let me explain something to you as well here. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about, there's a scripture there. It says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil. It's the same as wicked, right? An evil heart of unbelief. So unbelief, in the eyes of God, unbelief is wicked. Just like adultery or you know, any other sin or being a thief or a drunkard. Unbelief is wicked. Amen. And so let's not let our mouths be filled with unbelief.
Amen.
When we speak concerning our nation, our city, our church, our family. The Message Bible says it this way. When right living people bless the city, it flourishes. Let's get the message up there. Look at this. When right living people bless the city, it flourishes. So you have a responsibility. You and I have, we have a responsibility for our city. We have a responsibility for our nation. Bless this. That's why we pray over our nation in different aspects every Sunday. I'm getting you involved in this. Right living people, when we bless the city, it flourishes. We want our nation to flourish. We want our city to flourish. We want City on a Hill Church to flourish. Amen. Bless it. Your words are important. God wants to use your mouth for His will and blessing to be released. Evil talk turns it into a ghost town in no time. We don't want that. Amen? So the question is, as we wrap this up, is God or the devil using my mouth? Is God, ask yourself that question, is God or is the devil using my mouth? See, just like God wants to use your mouth, well, the devil's in competition as well for that. The devil would like to use it for his purposes as well, because in the same way that God would use your mouth, the devil would want to use your mouth. God wants to use your mouth to work in your life, so does the devil. God wants to use your mouth to impart blessing and grace to others. The devil wants to use your mouth to curse others. Amen? You know, Peter, that's what got me on this message, actually, was thinking about Peter, about one moment he was used by God. Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He declared that out of his mouth. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Three or four verses later, Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to be crucified, handed over to the Gentiles and crucified. Peter said, not so, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. So one minute he's speaking inspired by God, and the next minute he's speaking inspired by the devil. So it's possible for the devil to use your mouth. So ask yourself the question, is God using my mouth or is the devil using my mouth? Now, we believe in sanctification around here. What does that mean? That means being set apart for God. Set apart for God. Amen? Set apart for God's purposes. Praise God. So let's make sure that our mouth is sanctified. That our mouth has not been used for God one moment, used for the devil the next moment. Let's sanctify our mouth. And that's why what was so significant about Isaiah and that experience he had where the angel took the live coal from off the altar and touched his mouth. He said, your sin is purged. Amen. Brother Hagin said, most people, we do more sinning with our mouth than any other member of our body. And it's true, isn't it? So let's let God, not the devil, use our mouth. Look at James chapter 3. Verse 9. This is out of God's Word translation. With our tongues, we praise our Lord and Father. Yet with the same tongues, we curse people who were created in God's likeness. The next verse says, praise and curses come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, this should not happen. Amen. Don't let the devil use your mouth. Don't let the devil use your tongue. Notice it said we praise with our mouth. We praise God. And then we curse men that have been made in God's likeness. We shouldn't let that happen. Amen. So we need to learn to speak not from our feelings. See, too much of the time we speak from our, well, I'm just going to tell you how I feel. That's just the way I am. I'm just going to, well, you're not very wise then. I believe in being upfront with people. But if you're just going to express your feelings, you're very foolish. Now, again, there's another side to that. Is you don't want to just keep your feelings bottled up. There's a right time and a place to do that. Amen. And to talk things out, I understand that. But if you're just going to speak from your feelings, well, this is how I feel, and this is what I'm going to say. You're going to create a lot of problems for yourself. Somebody found that out? You don't say everything you feel. If you're wise. You may be giving the devil license to use your words to work against you. A lot of people speak out of their flesh. Their flesh is motivating them. Their flesh wants this, and so they say based on what their flesh is screaming at them. So we need to learn to speak not from our feelings or from our flesh, but we need to learn to speak from a heart that's full of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. Did you get that?
Yes.
We need to learn to speak not from our feelings, not from our flesh, but from a heart that's full of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Look at this. This is our last verse we'll look at. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. So your mouth is going to say, wait a minute, before I say anything, let's check with the heart. Feelings are saying, say this, say this. Flesh is saying, say this. The mouth says, wait a minute. Before I allow you guys to speak through me, let's check with the heart. Now, if that heart's full of the Word of God and full of the Spirit of God, something good is going to be fed to it, to the mouth, and it can speak the right thing. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Again, God's Word translation says it this way. A wise person's heart controls his speech. Learn to let your heart control your speech, not your flesh, not your feelings. Amen? God promised Moses, I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what you shall say. God said to Jeremiah, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. In the same way, the Lord wants to be with your mouth. And he wants to put his words in your mouth. He wants to use your mouth. Let Him. Let Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. It's decision time.